Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of not the morning Yankee show, the afternoon Yankee show, apparently. Baseball today, we did that late last night, and I did kind of sleep in a little bit this morning, Chad. Apologies for the delay. Hope you're all doing well. We have so much to discuss. We're going to get right into the Paul Goldschmidt conversation, which is a very valid conversation to have. What happens when Giancarlo Stanton returns? We'll break down some more from last night's win, which was a pleasure to watch. A really good victory for the Yankees. You know, you lose game one, and that was very much in line with the skies falling, the doom and the gloom. And everybody was tweaking, and to a degree, understandably so. And then you had Lollipop Gate. Well, the Yankees come back despite losing the first game. They end up taking this series against Detroit. They beat Tarik Skubal. We have so much to break down from last night's game. And then we'll also do a little preview of the Red Sox series, which starts tonight. Cam Schlitler versus Kennelly early. Where have you heard that before? It seems like every time Cam pitches, early pitches. But yes, four-game set starts in Boston tonight. Reminder, by the way, I want to get this out of the way off the top. Saturday's game, first two games are on YES, 7-10 tonight, 7-10 tomorrow, both on YES. Saturday's game is on ABC, an afternoon game, so a national broadcast on ABC. Sunday is our first Sunday night baseball game. That is on NBC/Peacock. So Saturday and Sunday, national broadcast. Tonight, tomorrow, YES. Anyways, good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well on this Thursday afternoon. Anyways, let's get right into it. As always, we're going to kick it off with a recap of last night's game. Here's some sound from last night. Yankees beat the Tigers 4-2, and then we got a bunch to break down.
That one is driven deep to left field. Going back is Green. He's on the track at the wall. See ya! A home run for Goldschmidt. He leads it off with a bomb, and it's 1-0 Yanks.
Next pitch from Skubal, breaking ball. That's hit to left field.
Hit pretty deep. Riley Green, look it up. Give it up. Say goodbye. Paul Goldschmidt continues to dominate Tarik Skubal. That's his fourth career home run against him, the second tonight. And the Yankees are back on top 2-1.
High drive, left field. Green back, track, wall. See ya. A long home run for Dominguez. A two-run shot, and the Yankees lead 4-2. High fly ball, right field. This should do it. Dominguez is there, and the Yankees win 4-2.
All righty. Cannot ignore Jason Dominguez. Go ahead, two-run shot off of Tarik Skubal. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But obviously the headline from yesterday is the continued renaissance, the continued domination, whichever way you want to phrase it, about Paul Goldschmidt. He has been absolutely incredible. We know that. But what's a conversation that is being had a lot in regards to his success is what happens when Giancarlo Stanton returns, which is expected to be at some point in the second half. Of course, had the setback with the calf issue. We're still a ways away from this actually being an active situation. But at some point, Giancarlo Stanton is expected to return. And many people are wondering, like, some aren't even wondering, it's definitive in their brains. Well, come the playoffs, you got to be playing Paul Goldschmidt. And I agree. I'll tell you the easiest part of this, which is no doubt about it, you know Goldschmidt will be playing in the starting lineup come October against left-handed pitching. That is nothing to discuss there. That is 100% going to happen, and as it should. But, yes, a question is, you can't get Stanton and Goldschmidt and Ben Rice in the lineup. You know Ben Rice is going to be playing. He's scuffing a little bit lately, but that's okay. It's baseball. What's the plan for Giancarlo Stanton and Paul Goldschmidt? Some would say, Goldschmidt's been great. Just sit Stanton. Fair, but also, there's some people that are just like putting Stanton to the side and saying, he should retire. Like, all these sorts of things that are very much dismissing how important Giancarlo Stanton is to this team. That's not what we're going to do here. And we're going to break it down with a little bit of a playoff mock lineup. Now, disclaimer, I am going to be operating under the assumption the Yankees acquire a right-handed hitting catcher. So the lineup that we're about to pull up does include Ryan Jeffers, but that's not the story here. But when you see that, just know, obviously, Jeffers is currently a Minnesota Twin. The Yankees have not acquired him. The expectation is that, while it may not necessarily be Jeffers, they are going to get a right-handed hitting catcher of some variety. There is a lot of smoke that it'll be Ryan Jeffers, and I hope it is. Anyways, how exactly would this work with Stanton and Goldschmidt? Well, bottom line is this. One of the two is going to be a pinch hitter come the postseason. Simple as that. Either Goldschmidt will be on the bench or Giancarlo Stanton will be on the bench. Against lefties, you know Goldie's going to be playing. And when Goldie is playing, he's playing first base. Rice will DH. Here's the lineup that I have with the thought that maybe, yeah, Goldie will be getting some starts against right-handed pitching in the postseason, maybe even every single day. And a big reason for that to keep in mind is, of course, the defense. Ben Rice, for a while, I was saying, hey, I think he's okay at first base. Over the last month or so, while he's not unplayable by any means, you can easily tell that he is an inexperienced first baseman, and there's a lot of room to grow there, and I anticipate that he will. Ben Rice, when goalies in the lineup, will be at DH, no doubt about it. So here's what I have, a potential mock lineup, if Goldie were to be in there every single day, 1-9 against a right-handed pitcher. This is my 1-9. Going to break it down in just a second. So something also to keep in mind here is this, many things. While not this torrid of a start to begin last season, Goldschmidt did get off to a really good beginning to his season last year. We remember that. First half, he was awesome, really the first couple months, and then he tailed off down the stretch. Now again, first half last year, he was really good. This year's a whole nother level. I mean, he's hitting .297, two more homers off of Schuble yesterday. That's 14 on the season. OPS is above .900. It's really been incredible, and he should be in the All-Star game, by the way. We know that. We know Goldie's been great, and that's why we're having this conversation. It is not out of the realm of possibility that, at least to a degree, not an entire, total fall off, but that you got to assume it's possible that this production will not remain throughout the entire season, whether it be old age or just, kind of playing above his head a little bit at this age. He is 38 years old. What he's doing right now is incredible. And because it's so incredible, why is it incredible? That's because he's this old, you don't expect it. Do we expect it to continue the entire season? Maybe you do. Also, this is assuming everybody's healthy, which ideally they are. We want Giancarlo Stanton back. And if we're going to operate on the assumption that Goldschmidt is playing to a level that warrants this conversation come October, and it's not just the offensive production, it's also the fact of, defensively you're a better team with him playing first base, Ben Rice at DH. So this 1-9 is if come October, we're still in the same situation we're at now, just with everybody healthy. Giancarlo Stanton is back. You have the option of either him or Goldschmidt starting at DH against a right-handed pitcher. Here's my 1-9 with Goldschmidt in. Grisham, Bryce, Judge, Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Jazz, Jeffers, McMahon, and then at shortstop batting ninth, either Caballero or Anthony Volpe. Now, here's the thing to keep in mind. Remember, Giancarlo Stanton, lately, not in his entire career, he's actually mostly brutal as a pinch hitter, but last year, remember, 4-13, that's a .400 batting average with two home runs as a pinch hitter. There were countless times where he would come in late in a game and come through for the Yankees. I look at him as just a weapon off the bench, and that's a good thing. If Goldschmidt's going to be starting every single day, and that includes against right-handed pitching come October, if that is the case, having Stanton off the bench is a good thing. This team was built around depth. This team was built around platoons. And something to keep in mind, of course, is you look at this lineup with Jeffers looks really good, by the way. I mean, again, he's not on the team just yet, but playoff mock lineup. Emphasis on that. There are clear opportunities here for a pinch hitter, and that involves whether it's Stanton starting or Goldschmidt, whoever's on the bench, one of the two, and that's a takeaway here, no doubt about it. What happens if they're both, when Stanton's healthy, Goldschmidt and Stanton, what do you do? It's simple. One of the two will be on the bench to begin a postseason game. So whoever that is, in this case, we're operating the assumption, let's just say it's Goldschmidt starting at first, Rice at DH, Stanton's on the bench, McMahon can be pinch hit for. Caballero or Volpe, whoever's playing shortstop, can be pinch hit for. Jazz, not against a righty, but against a tough lefty reliever, he absolutely can be pinch hit for. Now, the bench is something also to keep in mind here, because I would not rule out also against a lefty. Well, he's been much better this year against them, and it hasn't been an incompetent at bat like he was last year. Trent Grisham, who I cannot wait for him to return. He is going to be heavily ramping up baseball activities this weekend in Boston. Against a tough lefty, him as well, he can be pinch hit for. Now, the 1-9 that we mentioned and we're looking at right here, Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Goldschmidt, Jazz, Jeffers, McMahon, and then at the 9 slot, either Caballero or Volpe. The bench I would have right now, and the only cherry or added little caveat on here is, of course, that operating assumption that Jeffers is acquired, but whatever. The bench that I would have is, in this case, Stanton, Rosario, Schumann, Wells. Now, I'd also like to have Jason Dominguez in the postseason roster, but the only way to do that is possibly, you can run out of five-man bench, and I anticipate the Yankees will in October, but you would probably have to have, Volpe not in the roster, and Caballero will be. Anyways, nonetheless, the reason I bring this up is Stanton can pinch hit, Rosario can pinch hit. Grisham is it possible to get pinch hit for as well against a lefty. I'm not going to bank on that. Again, it's Jazz. It's even above him, of course, but Jazz against a tough lefty, McMahon, whoever's playing shortstop, at the very least, there's two candidates, if not three, if not four, if you include Grisham against a lefty, to get pinch hit for. That's where whoever's on the bench, whether it's Goldschmidt or in this case Stanton, will play a major role. I bring this all up in part, too, because the bench, you could defensively sub in, if you were to pinch hit Trent Grisham, Max Schumann. Again, the bench that I have here, if Goldschmidt starting at DH, is Stanton, Rosario, Schumann, Wells, and possibly Jason Dominguez as well. So this all goes to the whole thing, the whole theme of this Yankee team, and why I think it's quite easy to understand why this is, I think, the best year Boone has had as Yankee manager, is because he finally has options. This team was built around options, this team was built around depth, and getting Giancarlo Stanton back is something that we want, which, not that many people are disputing that, but, you know, anytime Goldschmidt goes deep, I'll see a couple comments and I'll be like, see you later, Stanton, like, retire, blah, 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 all that crap, which is very disrespectful in its own right, but nonetheless, in terms of the actual orientation of this team and the way it's been built and the ultimate team come October, with everybody healthy, having Giancarlo Stanton off the bench is something that you want. Now, there's also going to be times where Stanton does start at DH in the postseason, you would think at least. But let's just talk about that as if that's a possibility, which of course it is. And that could become a thing if Goldschmidt deteriorates in the second half. Or, again, we're talking if everybody's healthy right now, which a lot of times, at least offensively, the Yankees are come October. And we know, you know, Judge is going to come back. That's, some people are saying always like, if Judge, no, Judge is coming back. We know that. We know that. He's telling people actually first series out of the break against the Dodgers is his plan. Internally, that's what he's saying. I don't think that's going to happen. But at some point in August, Judge will be back. If Stan's in the lineup, we know that it'll be at DH. So if that's the case, then that means Ben Rice is starting at first base, which you can do. That's not a thing where I'm crapping myself at the idea of him playing first, but it's clear when you have both Goldie and Rice in the lineup, Goldie will be playing first in the postseason. Rice would be at DH. If Stan's at DH, Rice is playing first. Well, in that case, yeah, Goldschmidt would be off the bench. Same deal. Having him on the bench, having Rosario on the bench, all contributes to the some of the big excitement I have with this team, especially long-term, which is that the depth, the options, everything we were just talking about, if it's Stanton playing and Goldschmidt on the bench, that's a good thing too. So this is all part of the plan here. Now, that plan has changed to a degree because Goldschmidt was never going to be an everyday player for the Yankees when they signed him back. 1 year, $4 million, and he's been terrific. And that's why we're having this conversation. But my point here is we do want Stanton back, and that could very well be a thing where, yeah, he's on the bench and he's coming in as a pinch hitter. I was talking to Chris Rose last night because they discussed this as well. And it was actually quite cool. He was like, call me up, really asking for my opinion on the Yanks and like what they're going to do. And I'm like, one of the two is going to have to sit come October. And he said, there's no way you can sit Giancarlo Stanton. And, you know, with his postseason pedigree, all that, which 100% I respect. But in the end, in terms of planning around Giancarlo Stanton's October resume, I kind of look at that as, I don't say folklore, but I'm not planning my postseason lineup around the fact that Giancarlo Stanton has had some really strong postseasons for the Yankees. Now, if you want to, you're well within your rights because he's been terrific, and we know last year and in general, he's been great, timely hitting, runners in scoring position. Again, hit 400 as a pinch hitter last year with two home runs. Giancarlo Stanton is a weapon, whether that's starting or coming in as a pinch hitter. That postseason success can very much continue in one at-bat, two at-bats, coming in late for McMahon, coming in late for Volpe or Caballero, whoever's starting at shortstop, Jazz against the lefty. I have no doubt Giancarlo Stanton, no matter what, same goes for Goldschmidt, will be getting big at-bats in October. So I look at it like I don't think the Goldschmidt or the Stanton postseason pedigree, even just you know, back of the baseball card, whatever it may be, plays a role in because it's like, oh, he's Giancarlo Stanton. You have to get him into the lineup. Well, we're not talking about Jason Dominguez here. We're talking about Paul Goldschmidt. So you can say the same case for him. Bottom line is one of the two at full health will be on the bench come October. There's no alternative around it, especially because, you know, Stanton's not playing the outfield. Our 1-9 is going to be, and this is against a righty, of course. Lefties, this isn't a conversation. You know, no matter what, Goldschmidt will be in there against a lefty. And Stanton is 1 year great against lefties, 1 year, like, not so good. Last year was terrific against both. And let's not forget the production Stanton did provide last year. He was amazing when he came back in June. Had like the best year rate stat-wise of his career. Against lefties, you know Goldschmidt's going to be in there. And when that's the case, you'll have Rice at first. Or excuse me, you'll have Goldschmidt at first, Rice at DH. And yeah, in the case of 1-9 defensively, another thing to keep in mind, which Yankees defense has been looking a lot better the last couple days, and they've been switching some things up. Schumann I liked a lot in center field. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But defensively, since we brought it up, I just want to mention the plan here, which is, of course, Judge will be in right. Good defense. Grisham will be in center. Defense, not as great as I would have liked to have seen it this year, but in the end, our best defensive alignment is with, of course, Judge in right, Grisham in center, and Cody Ballinger in left field. One may say, just for right now, like, Spencer Jones is a better defender in center field. If you feel that way, I understand. I think that might be fair. But obviously, we want Trent Grisham in there. He's going to be in there. He's been great, and I look forward to getting him back. Rice in right, not Rice, Judge in right, Grisham in center, Ballinger in left. That's our outfield alignment. Against the righty, McMahon at third base, good defense. Caballero at short, or Volpe, which the only downside really of Volpe is that there's probably, and this is a big thing, because the Yankees do induce a lot of ground balls too, like the double plays are better turned, more likely to be turned with Caballero at shortstop. I have liked what I've seen from Volpe offensively lately, no doubt about it. And if you dispute that, I think it's kind of being a little bit of a hater. I get being out on Volpe. And long term, I think I am too. We'll see what this leads to, if it leads to anything. Defensively, though, he's been good at shortstop. I still think Caballero is better in large part because double plays, more of them get turned when he's there. So I would still roll out Caballero as my shortstop as of now come the postseason. But anyways, McMahon at third, Caballero at short slash Volpe. No matter what, at the very least, a floor of a good defender, possibly, in my opinion, like pretty damn good with Caballero at short. Jazz, barring any mental mistakes, really good defender at second base. And then if Goldschmidt's in there, you'll have him at first base, Rice at DH. So defensively, this is, of course, the way to go. And that's another part of this conversation, too. The Yankees are a better team if you have Goldschmidt, as long as he's still hitting, which is a big part of this, too. We'll talk about this again all the time. I love writing out lineups. I love thinking about October. And before you know it, we'll be there. The Yankees are a better team defensively if Goldschmidt's in there instead of Stan, because you'll have him play first and then Rice would be at DH. So as of right now, it does lean towards, if Goldschmidt can keep this up, which is a big question, he'll be in the starting lineup basically every single day, and Giancarlo Stanton will be on the bench as a pinch hitter, which last year he was really good at. And I like this lineup. I like, whether it is Goldschmidt or Stanton, I like this lineup. But the bench is a big part of this as well, as we continue to talk about the depth that this team has, the bench that this team has. Max Schumann's a big part of that too. Rosario, we know what he can do against lefties. He's been struggling a little bit lately. And if we were to acquire Ryan Jeffers, Austin Wells is your quote-unquote like backup catcher, at least coming in late. I wouldn't rule out the idea that Ryan Jeffers could be a guy that could get pinch hit for as well. I mean, I look forward to his offense. He's good against lefties, really good. He's also pretty damn good against righties too. He's been one of the better offensive catchers in the sport. And we're not going to focus too much on this. We haven't acquired him yet, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that you'd feel better about Giancarlo Stanton over Ryan Jeffers in a late at bat in the postseason. So point is here, one of the two, Goldschmidt or Stanton, will be on the bench come October. And whoever that is will still play a huge role as a pinch hitter. And that's good. That's what we want. And the way it looks right now, yeah, Goldschmidt's probably starting every day. And there's also the defensive side of things that add to that as well. Right now, on June 25th, I do myself, yeah, I lean towards Goldschmidt over Stanton, but that does not mean Stanton is cast to the wayside. No, Giancarlo Stanton will have huge at-bats in October, arguably the biggest at-bats in October coming in off the bench, which last year, again, pinch hitting, he was really good at. So this is all, not to be cliche, but a very good problem to have, and to a degree, not even so much a problem, but a planned way of operating, which is options, depth, pinch hitting, platoons, all of that. So the main story here, of course, is just that Goldschmidt's been incredible. Two homers off of Skubal last night. And with that, we'll move on to just some more from last night's game. But a lot of cool things. So yeah, Goldschmidt, two home runs. Now he's 14 on the year. We know how great he has been. He should be in the All-Star game. It's a shame you can only get him in by writing him in as a, yeah, like a write-in vote. But maybe like an honorary commissioner. Goldschmidt should be there. No doubt about it. But we all kind of know how great he has been. And we've talked about it now at length. And that's why we had the whole opening conversation. Some other things, though, to mention from last night, just in general. So the Yankees get to Tarik Skubal, four earned runs, and two of them being, of course, the Jason Dominguez go-ahead home run, which defensively, there's an issue with Jason Dominguez, just like in general. It's like chronic. It's never going away. Whether you put him in right, left, he's insanely athletic, but I just don't get it. Because yesterday, not able to field the ground ball in right field or, you know, field it on a hop, whatever it may be, runner goes, instead of it being first and second, ends up being second and third. That run ends up coming in to score. And that is just part of the process with Jason Dominguez, unfortunately. Like, I don't think that that's a thing where, at this point, he's going to be going away. People often like use cliches like, oh, this guy's a DH, that guy's a DH. In the case of Jason Dominguez, he truly just is a DH. whether it's us or another team, like, you plan around Jason Dominguez ideally not being in the outfield, because it's just, it's bad. It feels like it's almost going to forever be bad. I can't hold out hope that he's going to be improving, to be honest. Anyways, the reason that you do that, the reason that you do play him in right field, is because of what he can do offensively. He takes Scooble deep after a great at-bat, two-run go-ahead shot in the sixth. And with that, four earned runs off of Tarik Skubal last night, which is another example, yet another example, of the Yankees hitting good pitching. In last night's case, elite pitching. Now, of course, Skubal not looking as sharp since coming back from the injury, but in the end, like, he looked pretty damn good to me last night, especially as the game went on. Nine strikeouts, four hits. The only hit that wasn't a home run was the Rice single before Jason went deep. But we tagged him for four earned runs. This year, we've talked about it a lot. A cliche that people throw out there is Yankees can't hit good pitching. That is not true. This team absolutely can. We've seen it time and time again. Skubal, DeGrom, Cease, Davis Martin, remember, had one of the best ERAs in the AL, one of the best pitchers in the AL entering our start. We put up, Jesus, how much? Eight runs against him, nine runs. Logan Webb on opening day. We even got the Trey Savage a couple weeks ago for five earned runs. Yankees continue to hit good pitching. And it's also a reminder how important home runs are come October, as everything else is. Home runs are very important. You can't just operate off that. Hitting with runners in scoring position, batting average, whatever it may be, very important, but not just that. You can't have one of these things. It's like a game of Jenga. You can't take out the home runs. You can't take out the hitting with runners in scoring position. You can't take out the good pitching. Can't take out good fundamentals and good defense. Well, the ultimate plan is that all those things will be quite sound come October with everything we just talked about. And home runs are very important. I mean, think about it. We did nothing against Skubal yesterday in terms of manufacturing a situation to be able to drive in runs. And even if they had, there's not going to be often success in, after already getting a couple hits maybe against a guy like Skubal, getting another hit to drive in a run. The most effective way, while you can't just operate solely off of this, is the long ball. And the Yankees clicked them three times. Two home runs by Goldschmidt, home run by Jason Dominguez. And with that, we put up four earned runs against Tarik Skubal. And there's not many other ways you're going to be able to do so against that great a pitcher, at least in this day and age, without the home run. But also, too, the Yankees had really good defense yesterday as well. Got to shout out Max Schumann, by the way. These two plays yesterday were incredible, especially the second one. But the first one, great dive and catch. I mean, they were both awesome. Schumann started in center, so with that, you had Bellinger back and left. But this play right here to end the fifth was terrific. That ball was smoked. Both of them were. And I really thought that ball was getting down. He ends up making the catch. Back-to-back terrific grabs in center field. And with that, Ryan Weathers ends up turning in a pretty damn good outing. So we had good pitching yesterday, too. I mean, everything to do with yesterday's game. Home runs, beating Skubal, another example of great pitching being defeated by the Yankees. Defense was really good outside of Jason Dominguez, but that's not something to... There's nothing new learned there. That's really how we operate on here, is like, did we learn anything new? Well, unless you were unaware that Jason Dominguez is a bad defender, no, we did not. And Jason Dominguez is not going to be playing right field come October. So it kind of just very much is what it is. But outside of that, and by the way, the Jason throw to third base, that was actually a really good throw. So nothing to do with that there, just the play that made it second and third instead of first and second. But good pitching yesterday, good defense, hitting elite pitching in Tarik Skubal, and also the bullpen too, can't ignore that. Fernando Cruz, absolutely terrific. Four strikeouts in an inning and a third's worth of work. He has been amazing. And the splitter's always good. Last night and lately looks better than ever, honestly. The command has also been really sharp. He's got a 2.08 ERA in 34 and two-thirds innings pitched this season. Which, by the way, now I think I should have checked in on this, but I believe, yeah, it's picked by the manager of each respective team. So, you know, Dave Roberts for the NL, John Schneider for the AL. But, in terms of the pitchers selected at the All-Star game, Cruz and or Brent Hedrick should be an All-Star. I mean, Cruz has been absolutely terrific. Hedrick has been absolutely terrific. And also, too, cannot at all ignore the fact of, not in the All-Star conversation, just in terms of helping us win games, David Bednar has been nails. Since the Mets blow-up, which was bad, the ugly had been very ugly with Bednar. You know, he had a blown save in extra innings against Tampa Bay, which... kind of whatever on that. The Manfred runner, I can't stand, but what are you going to do? But we know about the blow up in Queens, where we're up by three. He gives a game tying home run to, who's that? Was it Michael Taylor, I believe? We all remember that was terrible. But since then, since that May game in Queens against the Mets, 0.69 ERA in 13 and a third innings since that game. Nails. He's been absolutely terrific. And he looks good, too. It's not just a thing where he's, you know, putting up numbers and no matter what, I'm cool with that. But it truly looks like the David Bednar we saw last year, if not even better. The stuff looks good, the command looks good, Bottom line is the Yankee bullpen, which we know needs to be upgraded, especially from more so like a depth perspective, and it will be via internal. LeGrande, you know, four starters in October is all you need. So no matter what, come the postseason, Weathers and Warren will go to the bullpen. Between that and also, no matter what, you need external upgrades as well. At the very least, one or two relievers brought in here. But the mainstays, especially as of late, Hedrick, Cruz, Bednar, have all been really good. Now, Paul Blackburn should not be pitching as high leverage at innings as he has been. I think that was one of the faults going into this year was, we know that, not getting shorting at the bullpen more. But Paul Blackburn should be, I think, come October, like the last man in the Yankees bullpen. But by the way, Paul Blackburn has been really good, too. Tim Hill had a couple weird games here and there, but he's been good. Camilo Duvall, I mean, whatever. He didn't blow the game yesterday, so word up there. But nonetheless, Yankee bullpen, good last night. Also, too, Ryan Weathers ended up turning in a really good outing. The main storyline going into yesterday's game, you know, Weathers versus Skubal, by default, you're kind of like, up, you know, like the Yankees probably aren't going to do too well this game. You figure Skubal would, you know, shut us down, which outside the home runs he did, but we did hit home runs, so we scored four runs off of him. But ultimately, Ryan Weathers out-dueled Tarik Skubal yesterday. Skubal goes six innings, four runs. Ryan Weathers, with some help of the defense, well, and also poorly aided by the defense in a negative way with the Dominguez one, but nonetheless, one earned run for Ryan Weathers because of the Jason error. He was good yesterday. And Weathers, the last two starts, only one home run allowed. And that was just the Colson-Montgomery one against the White Sox. And of course, that's been a big issue for him as of late, where the previous three, I think I have the stat on here somewhere. The previous three outings for Ryan Weathers before his last two, let me find it here. He had given up seven home runs in his previous three outings, entering his last two, which the last two against the White Sox and now the Tigers. I almost forgot who we played last night. The Tigers, last two starts, only one home run allowed. So that's awesome. Shout out Ryan Weathers. 3.95 ERA in 15 starts this season, which hasn't been perfect. And it's really just that one stretch. He had a couple rough-ish starts early on. But that one stretch where he was giving up all those homers, the sweeper looked really good yesterday. He's been going to the fastball a little bit less, which is a no-brainer because that's a large part why he was getting clicked for so many homers. But 15 starts, a 3.95 ERA, hasn't been perfect, but no doubt about it, this trade has been a success so far. This trade was a success the minute Colin Rodon returned because that's essentially what he was supposed to bridge us to. And he did that, and actually once they returned is when he started to, you know, get some rough outings a little bit. But two good starts recently, and I think no doubt about it, the trade has been a massive success for the Yankees so far. And even when you look at like his career innings, he's going to cross very soon what is a career high in innings, 94 and two-thirds that he put up in 2021 with the Padres. Right now, after last night's game, he's at 86 and two-thirds innings, Ryan Weathers. So at this point, even if we were to never pitch another inning for us, knock on wood, this year at least, even with that, to a degree, like it's kind of already a success because he did bridge us to Cole and Rodon, and he pitched great. And right now, till Fried returns, like he's in the starting rotation, and 15 starts in, he's got a 3.95. So shout out Ryan Weathers. Everything about last night's game, the fact, you know, that we lost game one and we go on to win the next two. You get the home runs, you hit Skubal another time with the Yankees, hit good pitching. Goldschmidt continues doing his thing. Jason, huge homer last night. The bullpen was great. The defense outside of Jason was great. That was one of my, honestly, like, outside of, like, you know, crazy comeback wins, which the Yankees have had a few of those, might be, like, up there for just, in terms of, like, a standard win. Like, craziness aside, which you could say last night was crazy because Goldschmidt, two homers, but you know what I'm saying? Like, comebacks aside, like, the crazy wins, Yankee Classic-type wins, all that sort of thing aside, just in terms of a standard-ish victory, might be my favorite one of the season last night. That was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And with that, the Yankees remain three games in front of the Tampa Bay Rays for first place in the American League East. Blue Jays lost again, so they're two games under 500. They're like nine games back, whatever it is. I still am kind of more so monitoring the Blue Jays more than I am the Rays. I don't worry about the Rays long term. Not that I worry too much about the Blue Jays these days anymore, but that could quickly turn. You know, I mean, my eyes are very much on Toronto over Tampa Bay. But also, some other quick notes from last night. I just want to mention this. Now, I was using this as an angle of, oh, Skubal wants to be a Yankee so bad because there were some cool clips, and that's just kind of how I talk. I like to have fun with it. But, well, first things first about Skubal. If you're using last night's start as a reason, like, well, I think he should not get Skubal, unless you think he's, like, not healthy, which that's fair. If you think, like, Skubal's just not right and that's more risk going to a potential deal, and I don't think he's going to get Skubal, but I still stand by, despite last night's start where he got four runs against us, that things can get Skubal. They should. But particularly because if the Dodgers were to get him, that would be a disaster. But do not use last night's start as a reason all of a sudden, like, what, Scooble is bad and you shouldn't get him? Because if we're going to operate off that logic, I'll tell you that Anthony Volpe is the next Derek Jeter. I mean, if we're going to go off a small sample size, that's very foolish. Let's not do that. Unless you're worried about health, that makes sense. Anyways, nonetheless, though, on Scooble, some cool moments that I posted on Yanks Ave. So goalie takes him deep twice and then finally gets him swinging after a long at-bat, strike three, points up to the heavens and thanks God. Badass. And Scooble, we already know, is badass. Also, something I love, too, blows 99 past Caballero. Caballero gives him a nod of respect afterwards. Scooble nods back. I mean, this is old-fashioned baseball. On the stream yesterday, I was getting hyped up after a Yankee struck out because this was just, like, this felt like 90s baseball. 90s baseball that I never got to watch, obviously. But badass. Like, even watching it now, like, that is, like, look at Scooble's nod back. Yeah, I love it. Everything about that is awesome. He wants to be a Yankee. In all seriousness, though, that was a fantastic game last night. And I am a very proud Yankee fan today because we beat Scooble. And again, reminder, everybody, you know, we always mention when the Yankees are winning, they're doing this without Judge. We're doing this without Stan. We're doing this without Grisham. We're doing this without Freed. And then, you know, they lose a few games in a row. And then everybody kind of throws that to the wayside and forgets about it. Let's bring it back up when they're winning and when they're losing. Without Judge, without Freed, without Stanton, without Grisham. And Grisham's hopefully back at some point, maybe early July, maybe even next week during the homestand, first week in July, I don't know. But nonetheless, fantastic win last night, very pleased. And despite losing the first game and despite facing Scooble yesterday, Yankees ended up taking 2 out of 3 against Detroit. And there were so many good things, which by now we've kind of covered it all, I believe. I think that's just about everything. So let's wrap it up here with a quick little preview on the Red Sox series. 4-game set begins tonight at Fenway Park. Reminder, game 1 and 2, 7:10 first pitch on YES, standard procedure. Saturday is on, you know what, I have the, now this is the least produced part of this show that I'm going to pull up right here, but I want to just give you guys a visual so you can see it, but this is from my Google Docs. Yes, game 1, game 2 on YES, 7:10 first pitch. Game 3, 1 o'clock, 1:10 first pitch on ABC, which is kind of funky. I don't think we've been on ABC, like, in a long time. I believe we've been on Peacock. I think the opening series was against Peacock, but this is our first Sunday night baseball game this year, which, crazy it's been this long, not complaining, but I do like the NBC and Peacock broadcast. So yes, game 3, 1 o'clock on Saturday, 1:10 first pitch on ABC. Game 4, 7:20 first pitch on NBC/Peacock. Anyways, game 1 tonight on YES. Cam versus Kennelly early. This is like, the very least, their third matchup going up against each other, including the Walker game last year. Cam, we know, has dominated Boston. He's dominated just about every single opponent he's faced this year. 8-3, 1.71 ERA. Kennelly early, left-hander, of course. He's been pretty damn good himself. 6-5, 3.64. I almost want to say it's their fourth time facing up tonight. I'm assuming at the very least this is the third, but it just always seems like when Cam's pitching against Boston, Kennelly's also pitching. So you got that again tonight. Game 2, Will Warren, 7-2, 3-4-5. Would like a little bit of length out of Will Warren. He hasn't, like, been blowing up, but also his starts will look very good early and then teeter off, you know, one bad inning or just, you know, not give us too much length. He'll go in Game 2 against another lefty, Peyton Toll, who's 3-5, 3.08 ERA. And then, yeah, Game 3, Cole looking for a bounce back versus another lefty, Jake Bennett, who's 1-3, 3.71 ERA. And then Sunday Night Baseball, Carlos Rodon, who... I'm a big Rodon guy. And in the end, even game 2 against Detroit, which he got the win in, wasn't great. There were some things that frustrated me, you know, some four-pitch walks, the wild pitch. Like, it's still not perfect with Rodon. A reminder, he's still coming off the bone chip surgery. And he's like, what, 7 or 8 starts in now? I still believe heavily in Carlos Rodon, especially as our fourth starter. Now, obviously, if we were to get Scooble, Rodon would go to the bullpen, and that'd be a good problem to have. But looking for, you know, a good start at Rodon Sunday night. And for Boston, one of the few things that's gone well from this year, Sonny Gray, who's 9-1 with a 2.95, he'll be going for the Red Sox in Game 4. So tonight, Cam versus Early. Game 2, Warren versus Toll. I think it's Tolley. Game 3, Cole versus the lefty Bennett. And then Game 4, Rodon versus Sonny Gray. We know Rodon is much better at home, but he's also better at night games than he is during the daytime. So holding out hope for obvious reasons that Rodon will pitch well on Sunday, hoping everybody's pitching well, but also maybe for my own slight personal narrative, I want him to pitch extra well because I'm a Rodon guy, and you know when he's getting, for a minute, looks like about to get rocked in Detroit, ends up turning in a solid outing and getting the win. But at the time, it's like, Rodon, I need more from you, yo. So trust me, we'll keep it fair with him. And I understand not being totally bought in or even slightly bought into Carlos Rodon just because some still have 2023 in their brains. But also, like, I think he kind of needs a little bit of a pitching equivalent of an A-Rod 09 postseason run. If he doesn't pitch well in the postseason this year, healthy, then we'll walk back our stance, as in my own stance, on Rodon a little bit. But for now, I'm a believer in Rodon. We'll talk more about the series come tomorrow. But game one tonight, Early versus Schlittler. Reminder, by the way, in this case, we got a Unk Still Got It shirt. Link in the chat, link in the description, but use code YANKSAV15 for 15% off your entire order. Just go to slashline.co/NYY or click the link in the chat, link in the description. We got Paul Goldschmidt shirts out. Now we got this Ben Rice shirt that you've seen Aaron Boone wearing. Link in the chat for that. Just a reminder, use code YANKSAV15, 15% off your entire order, and it gets you, it's no minimum purchase required. It's for a limited time, and it's site-wide. So code YANKSAV15, Yankees merch, new ones, including a Unk Still Got It shirt, out now. That's going to do it for this episode, chat. Love you all so much. Hope you all have a great day. And, you guys, I'll see you tonight, by the way, for the watch party. We'll be live right around 6:30. And with that, till then, let's go Yanks. See you tonight. Let's go Yanks.